Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So last week, we did talk about John the Baptist, which always seems like it's strange for us to be talking about John the Baptist at this time of year. But it really isn't, because this is the time of the year in which we remember that we are waiting for the coming of Christ, not the first time, but the second time. So last week, John the Baptist, we heard that the word of God came upon John. Now, we heard everyone who was in charge at that time, right? All the powers that be. And we learned that they're not the ones that God came to. It was John the Baptist, what we called a nobody, or what the world at that time would have deemed a nobody. Just kind of like your average Joe, your everyday Joe, or what I would say your everyday or average John. And the word of God came in the midst of him being in the wilderness. And we learn that John was a prophet, and prophets speak the truth, whether we want to hear it or we don't want to hear it, right? And most of the times, we don't want to hear it. John was the last of the prophets that came before Jesus. And the prophet John spoke of a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And he said, all will see the salvation of God. So now you're caught up, and we're into where we are today. This week, we actually find out what repentance is. And we don't find out what repentance is based on what it's not. We're told right there and then what it is. Now, notice that it's not defined as being sorry for something that you did, asking for forgiveness. That's a piece of it, but that's not the entire piece of it. It's a critical part, but not the most important of all the parts. You see, repentance goes even further and deeper than that. It's about turning away from sin, yes, and, notice the and, having a new and a changed heart. So if you ask for forgiveness and then you keep doing what you've always been doing, is that really and truly repenting? Or are those just words, maybe, that are coming out of your mouth? So it's not just saying the right thing that you are going to change, but it's actually changing. Changing your ways, whatever those ways may be. Repenting is changing, acting differently, and actually living differently. So John speaks to those who are gathered there. And when we think about it, what he's speaking of is to all, because all will see the salvation of God. And all have been called to produce good fruit. So who are all these all? Well, first we start with all people, but then notice what happens. It then goes down into even the tax collectors and the soldiers. So who are the people? Well, the people is everyone who's there. It could be Jewish. It could also be non-Jewish or Gentile people who are there. Luke's gospel is inclusive of all. And so they come to John after hearing this, and they say, well, what about us? I mean, what is it that we should do? And John spells it out. Can't be any clearer, can it? If you have two shirts, give one of your shirts to someone who does not have one. How simple is that? Very simple. Not so easy to do, is it? I have walked by for probably 12 months a closet that was just had nothing but coats, different kind of coats, different kind of rain jackets, different kind of fleeces, all different kinds of things. And then one day as I'm walking by, it's a little chilly outside, I said, oh my gosh, what am I doing with all of these? I don't need them. And I picked the one that I wanted to keep, a rain jacket, and I kept a fleece that I wanted to keep, and then I took all the rest, put it in a bag, and sent it off for those that I knew were going to be cold. Interesting, huh? How come I didn't do that 8 or 9 months earlier? Very interesting. We forget sometimes the ordinariness in our life, that we can look at something that we have and not maybe really even see it. So what else does he tell the people? If you have extra food, share it. I know my pantry's got lots of extra food in it, and I'm sure we all do, especially this time of the year when we tend to prepare more. Like we're the same people, but we tend to eat more this time of the year, don't we, than any other time of the year. And what John is saying here is he's speaking to everyone. Even if you only have two shirts in your closet, you only need one. Give the other one to someone who doesn't have one. Even if you have all of this extra food, keep what you need for the day and give the rest to the others. Now, along come the tax collectors. Who are these people that I dreamed I became last night? And it's not a tax collector as we understand it today. These tax collectors are not very, they're not held in high esteem by their fellow Jews. Not at all, because they work for Rome. And here's how that system works. One of the ways. You go along with others, usually a wealthy Jewish person, and you will go and you will bid on, there's an auction that comes up for taxes that would be collected in a particular area. And so you bid on that auction, you pay for the right then to go and collect those taxes. So you've paid basically either at a discount or at the price, the tax for people. And then they go out and they start collecting on those taxes. Ripe for some fraud there, don't you think? Yeah, today we would call that what? That's a great investment that you would go do that. Yeah. So back then, what they would do then is they would come to you and say, you owe, oh, it's not $100, it's $110. And maybe the person next to you, nah, not 100 for you. It's $120 because I know you've got some more money. Those are the tax collectors, those who are coming to John. They are not well liked by the other Jewish people. And so what does John say to them? They ask that very same question, don't they? They ask, what about us? What should we do? And what is John's answer? Collect only what is due you. Don't profit from others. Right? Collect what is due you. Along come the soldiers. Now, the soldiers at that time, the ones that came, were probably the Jewish soldiers. These are the ones who were mercenaries, right? They hired themselves out for protection. Sometimes the tax collectors would bring a soldier with them, all right? So that's that show of force that's going on. But other times they could be employed by the temple. They could be employed by Rome. Okay, so they also would, whoever the Roman prefect was, they would work there. And so what do you think they might have done at that time when abuses in the system were happening? What might they have done? Perhaps they might have said, you know, you might want to give me X number of whatever the coinage might have been, or else I might have just seen you do something that was illegal. these same men come to John and they ask the same question. What about us? What should we do? And what is the answer that's given? Very simply, don't extort from people. Be happy with the wage that you are earning. These people are given very, very specific examples of what bearing fruit looks like, of what a changed life and changed ways look like. Notice what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean go to a far-off country and help the people who are there. It doesn't look like give up every single thing and every possession that you have and live as Mother Teresa did. All very, very good and great examples of bearing fruit. But that's not the message that John's giving here, is he? He's saying in your ordinary and everyday lives and in your vocation, be honest. Share. It's kind of like the things we were taught in kindergarten, isn't it? That's what John is calling for them to do. So I have a question. What about us? What is it that we should do? Well, I think it's not what should we do, but we know something and have experienced something that they did not experience back then yet. And that is the death and resurrection of Christ. So I think for us, it's what shall we do? Because we know that we are new creatures. Not what should. It has become for us a what shall we do? Because we are a people who live in a time after the death and resurrection of Jesus. We are a people who have been given the promise, who have been baptized, not as John was baptizing at the time, but we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with the fire. We have died in Christ, and we are born again. We are the people who wait for the second coming of Christ, when the kingdom will fully come to fruition, right here, not some far-off place. We are the people who bear fruits that are worthy of repentance because of what Christ has done for us. Christ has forgiven our sins, set us free from death, and has given us eternal life right now. So guess what we get to do? Just that. We get to live into these promises in our ordinary and everyday lives. So what shall we do? Well, perhaps we need to clean out our closets and share. You know, just think of that word declutter. Declutter means you have an abundance. Oh, my husband's raising his arms like, please, Mayor, declutter. Yeah, declutter means there's an abundance, and we have an abundance. We are an abundant people. We have an abundant God. It means going through your pantries. It means when you see a buy one, get one, don't buy one, get one for yourself. Buy one and get one for someone else. It means charging a fair price for goods and services. Not, well, this one's got more money, so I think I'm going to ask a little bit higher price than this person who's barely making it. Perhaps it means opening up our wallets. Does anybody here have a cluttered wallet when it comes to money in it? I doubt it. I think if there's anything that we may be straightening out all the time, well, maybe one person, but if there's anything we are straightening out all the time, what is it? It's our bills, right? Are we not putting them in order so we know exactly what we have? Well, maybe what we're called to do is open that wallet and share what's in there. It's about speaking kind and affirming words about the other, especially about people who we don't know and make generalizations about. It is about sharing your time and your talents with others. It's about listening and just listening and being present with someone And not trying to fix things, because we're not the fixers, are we? Christ is the fixer. That's what bearing good fruit looks like. That's what changing our ways looks like. And we get to do all of this because of what Christ has done for us. The Messiah has called and claimed you, and the Messiah has called and claimed me through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Messiah is indeed coming again. Make no mistake about it. It's going to happen. Just because we don't know when doesn't say that it's not going to happen. And you know something? That's the good news for us. The good news that we are called and claimed as Christ's own children, and that he will come again for us. And that what we do in the meantime is we bear good fruits and we live as people who truly believe in that promise. Amen.